Hi, I'm a helpful Southern California Honda person, and over the past few months, we've been doing random acts of helpfulness, like helping a student pay for college applications, building bikes for underprivileged kids, we even fixed a garage door. And right now we can help you too with a great deal on an award-winning Honda, like the Accord, which has been named a Car and Driver 10 Best a record 30 times. Click the dealer locator link to find a dealer near you, and go to SoCalHondaDealers.com to suggest a random act of helpfulness for someone you know. Car and Driver, January 2016.
Welcome to Awakening Spirituality and Business Today, inspiring you to succeed with all your heart and soul. Your hosts today are Daniel Gutierrez, international business consultant, motivational speaker, and best-selling author, and Johnny Hernandez, proven business executive, passionate life and business coach, and founder of Living with Purpose, whose mission is to inspire teams and individuals to achieve their personal and professional best. Together, they'll light the path to help you achieve your absolute best. Without further ado, let's turn it over to Daniel and Johnny for today's illuminating discussion.
Right on. We get to have an illuminating discussion. How do you like that, Johnny? Yeah, I'm thinking, well, we got to be illuminating today. So anyway, folks, today we're talking about the benefits of meditation in business, which is kind of interesting because social media actually has responded to this topic probably more than a lot of other topics that we've talked about, and it might just be because I sent it out. But anyway, I know, right? You know, it's interesting that people want to meditate. I was watching a video earlier, Johnny. People want to meditate. They don't know how. They don't know the benefits. But, you know, I think people meditate when they don't even know they're doing it. And it can be as easy as just slowing down and taking a moment in the spring or maybe even the winter where you go outside and you just feel connected. You feel connected to the coolness of the air. You feel connected to the smell of the newly cut grass, whatever it may be. That is a form of meditation. That is a form of slowing down. But, you know, interestingly enough, Johnny, you come from a world of big business. What, you know, do you think, or how do you think meditation works in business?
I think it's interesting that you mentioned. I think that it works in business only when you have one or two things. It's grassroots effort. You have employees that are passionate about that lifestyle, and they drive it. Or you work for an organization that I would say is ahead of the curve, Daniel. That
like Google
that believes. Right. That's I didn't say. You took it right out of my mouth. That fosters an environment of, you know, clean, healthy mindfulness. And I'm going to give you an example. You said something before about people do it and they don't even know they did it. So I'm talking to my mother last night. She's the most awesome, cool, hip woman you'll ever meet in your life. And she comes from a small town in Iowa. She hasn't studied meditation. She doesn't, you know, her level of spirituality, she's very close to God. But we were talking, I believe it was this morning, and she was telling me about where she goes to say her prayers in her house and the home I grew up in. And she said, but you know, there's times where I go and sit in that comfy chair by the window, and she says, I just kind of rest my eyes. And I try not to think about anything, and I just let it all go. And this is what, I kid you not, she's in her mid-70s, and she says, and you know, my mind just goes to, just gets so peaceful, and I feel so refreshed when I'm done. And she says, I'm meditating. But what's so fascinating is there's such a, you know, and I'm the first one to admit that when I take everything like way overboard, if you ever speak to my wife, bless her heart, she didn't know what she was getting into when she married me, I tend to take things to the extreme, right? So if I'm going to get involved and do something, I'm like all in. I got to have the full outfit. I've got to have whatever it is. I fully immerse myself in it. So when I said, I wanted to learn how to meditate, right? So my initial thought was, okay, well, how many different books do I have to read? How many things do I have to study? All this. And then listening to my mom make the statement she did and the comments you make, people really are confused, intimidated, and or the word meditation is like the word spirituality to some people. You know, and you look at some of the comments, whether we get on blogs or some of the various shows we do, the first thing, well, is if this is about religion, how do you want to talk about it? I never said religion. Did you, Daniel? We said spirituality.
Nope.
And I think it's a misunderstanding and a misperception of what meditation is. It doesn't necessarily mean, but it can be, folded legs in a meditating type position, reciting certain, you know, statements, language, so forth and so on.
Chant.
But it can also be something as simple, right, specific chant. Or it can be just like what my mom was saying, where you feel so much more refreshed. It's just the whole cleansing of the mind. So going back to your original question, it either happens in organizations that it doesn't happen by accident. So in an organization, you either foster an environment where you're dead serious about it, and that organization's leadership understands the benefits of meditation, you know, you could say energy healing, whatever you want, because it usually comes in large clumps. It's just one thing. And or it's grassroots, and you have a group of employees that are just passionate about it, and they create it from the ground up.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Going back to what you said about your mom, people confuse meditation with prayer, and they're both very distinctively different. In that, in prayer, you're typically in a petition to the divine, to God, to the universe, whatever it is you choose to call it. You're petitioning for better health or someone's health or the better world. Where in meditation, what your mom was doing was being silent. No communication at all. As a matter of fact, when I was in Nepal studying up with the monks, the Buddhist monks up in the mountains, I specifically asked this one particular monk that was speaking to our group, you know, how do you meditate? How do you stay focused in meditation? And her answer, it was a her answer to me was very simple. And she says, just be mindful of your breath, just breathing in and breathing out. And so you're right, Johnny. People get really nervous when they confuse even meditation with religion, let alone spirituality, you know. And really, the reason why I think people get scared is because they watch too much TV, and they think that they got to be in a white outfit with a turban on or something, you know, studying yoga and floating. Your meditation is as simple as stopping and breathing in and breathing out and doing nothing else but that. That's it. And it could be 30 seconds. 30 seconds. That's all. We don't stop enough. And you know, one of the things that I agree with you when it comes to meditation in the marketplace, you got Google and all of your Northern California companies that already are in that mindset of understanding the power of keeping the millennials happy by providing meditation and yoga and learning about certain ways of life. But you don't have to be part of a group within a business structure to do it. You just have to learn to stop and be mindful of your breathing. Recently I was talking about, when I was speaking at a big group, I said, there's a lot of other things that we can be mindful of that helps us with a sort of meditation, and that is being mindful of your walking. You know, how many times, think about this for those of you listening in today, how many times have you walked to work or walked to the store or walked and never really even paid attention to what's around you because you were so in thought, so deep, or playing with your phone that you never really gave yourself, never gave yourself the chance to stop for a minute. I did an event in downtown Manhattan last year, Johnny, and I had them do this slowing down, mindful walking, mindful hugging, mindful talking. I was teaching them that, and they had a reception following the event that I spoke at, and the group is kind of in little groups talking to each other, and one of the ladies looks over and says, "Hey, how long has that painting been on the wall over there? That's a beautiful painting." And the lady says, 10 years. She had never, ever, in all the years that she's walked by it and had meetings in that room, had never seen it. And so being meditation sometimes is being mindful of what's around you. You know, a deep level meditation, yes, is silence in a special room as your mother has her space in a special place. But, you know, I want to talk a little bit about the benefits of meditation. And the biggest thing for me, Johnny, I don't know about you, is that, and if you have an Apple Watch, those of you that have an Apple Watch, I have an Apple Watch, and this is like a quick measurement of whether or not meditation works for you or not. If you spend 60 seconds to 5 minutes in meditation, really just being silent, being aware of your thoughts and letting them go like a cloud in the sky, if you watch your heart rate, if you take your heart rate before you start, and then you take your heart rate when you stop, because you're able to do that on, and it's not just the Apple Watch, it's any watch that has a heart rate monitor, you will see that your heart rate goes down. It calms your soul, and there's an increase in the flow of blood to your heart and to the rest of your body. And so just that alone is a benefit. Johnny, what other benefits can you think of that
oh my
helps?
Gosh, as you're just saying that, if you go to, so let's just say you're one of those people out there that say, you know what, I'm listening, and you know what, meditating's for hippies, for you dudes, you guys are hanging out in Southern California, Oregon, Washington, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Right? Medical doctors will tell you, and I'm going to give you an example. So meditation is an outlet. And an outlet that, and you were saying this earlier, is don't worry so much about what you're doing. It's about what you're not doing. It's about being fully present in your mind. It's about trying to, and the reason they say focus on your breathing, it's not so much your breathing as what it's not. So when you're focusing on your breathing, what you're doing is you're focusing on something different than, right, the scattering of the mind. That we are so used to, and part of the reason, as Americans, we're the worst out of any country in the world. Because
yep.
We are just go, 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 go. We skip lunch. We eat on the fly. We got more fast food restaurants in any country than all the countries in the world combined. I mean, it goes on, right? All of that being said, meditation is an outlet. And I'll give you an example. So yesterday I met with a client, one of the coolest cats you could ever meet, is a CEO of an organization in the Northern California area. And we were talking about CrossFit. And he's just one of the things he's into now. And he's saying that it's evident that when he does his exercise, that physiologically, that he's more at peace, he's more rested, his heartbeat slows down, and it's not just the short-term benefit, it's the long-term benefit. So when you go to the doctor and they'll say, and they'll take your blood pressure, and they will openly say, it happens all the time, just say you work out, don't you? And without even looking at you physically, is because you do cardio or you're doing things for your meditation is exactly the same thing. And it's something that over time, the more you do it, the more you just try to slow down long enough. And it's something you have to schedule. So it's no different that if you say, I'm going to meditate this afternoon, and you don't schedule it and make it as important of a meeting as you would if I know I've got to call mom or dad this afternoon at 2:00, and you blow off mom and dad 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days in a row.
You better not.
Apply, right? Right? You better not.
You better not.
You better make it that important. But when you do it enough and it becomes a habit, what ends up happening is your entire life changes. The way you look at life, the way you perceive things, rather than assume the worst in everything, you begin to assume the best. Right? Rather than looking at the glass half empty, you begin to look at the glass half full, and you want to and pretty soon it's like a transformation. It's like you don't know this is happening, but people around you notice it's happening. They start asking you questions like, what are you doing differently, because they notice what's happening. And ultimately, it's a calmer mind. It's a mind. The road rage, if it doesn't go away, it's much, much less. The benefits of just being fully present in your own mind and not beat yourself up, because this is the other thing. I'm great at it. I am great at punishing myself over and over again for the most ridiculous things. And I stop and ask myself, why are you doing that? Right? We're our own worst critics. And we'll do, I'm going to meditate today, and then you miss a day. So you miss the next 2 days because you feel so dang guilty that you missed the first day. And you've got to stop that and live in one day at a time. If you can pull it off once a week, up to the point where you can get into some type of just regular rhythms in which you're finding time alone. And whether it's sitting at your car, not necessarily at a stoplight, although there are people that can meditate, they're that good when they sit at that two-minute stoplight. But just finding calm places when you're alone and just resting your eyes. And if you want to take it to the nth degree and really do the studying and on the deeper meanings of meditation, the different types of meditation, I applaud you for that, because then you become a better teacher for everyone else. But I just think about, after my, it's ironic that this show came up today, because talking to my mom today, we weren't even talking about the show. She's the one who brought it up. Talking to my good friend and client yesterday, if you don't look at it as the cleansing of the mind and the calming, it's an outlet, and it's one of the most healthy outlets you can do. And it's a thing that, it's like you've got to make the time, and when you do, you've got to put all your faith in the fact that it will make a difference. Because without an exception, in every case, it will begin to slowly change your life.
Yeah, I'm going to go to your doctor. My doctor doesn't ever look at me and say, you must be working out. He says, you need to work out. When you said that, I thought, not my doctor. my doctor said, you still eating a donut a day? Yep.
Yep.
Anyway.
That actually is true.
Yeah, it is true. Yeah, every day I eat a donut. Every day. It's like George Burns had his martini, I have my donut. So you know, it's interesting what you're saying. You know, one of the things that I do, and you and I, like, as you know, most people know, you and I talk a lot throughout the days, not just on the show, but you know, sometimes, and this morning, I just throw it out there, this morning I got up in absolute fear. And I mean, I opened my eyes and I was already there, you know, so it's not like I had something happen. It was just one of those things that I woke up with. And I know a lot of people feel that way on a day in, day out basis. But I was able to get myself out of that space through meditation, Johnny, because the first thing I did, you know, I have a ritual. You know, meditation sometimes can be a ritual. For me, it's a burning Palo Santo, which is sacred wood that I bring from Peru. Turning on the right music and just allowing myself to just be. Meditation doesn't have to be in silence. Some people need music to do it. Some people need, when the late Wayne Dyer, wrote a book called Getting in the Gap. And I have had many people buy the book, because the book is about how to meditate. And he has a CD in the back of the book that is designed around the Lord's Prayer, which a lot of people know. And so he teaches you how to use the Lord's Prayer to get into meditation. It's really, really good. And I've had a lot of people use it because it's something they're familiar with. So there's a lot of ways to do meditation. But the benefits, and what I was trying to get at, is I got up with this gripping fear that I don't know where it came from, but I was able to shift that into gratitude, into appreciation for the life that I have today and all the great things and people that I have in my life. And so when it comes to business, and so we can talk about this from an entrepreneurial standpoint or even a corporate standpoint, but I'm going to talk about an individual standpoint, which you know, one of the messages in my speaking is always, we don't escape our humanness. There's no way to get around it. We're humans with human experience and human emotions. However, we absolutely have control over those. You can say, well, she made me mad or he made me mad, and I'll say, well, you know, you allowed it. So, you know, we don't escape our humanness, which means that we control our emotions or can have control over our emotions. And what I did this morning is I just got into my little ritual and I read what I always read. And Johnny, I'm a big proponent, as you are, is writing. So I write, you know, not every morning, but I would say 90% of the time I write in my journal. And sometimes it's just writing things that have happened that are good versus getting focused on what doesn't work. But the benefits to business, And I'm going to give you guys a really funny thing that I used to do when I was in sales, is that if I would get quiet in my car before I went in to do a sales call, because however you show up at that door as a salesperson is going to dictate whether that person buys or not. And if you're already in fear because you think you're not tall enough, pretty enough, the right color, or whatever it may be that they don't like you, then you're already creating a situation where they're not going to buy from you. And so what I would do is I would sit in my car, and this is way before I ever got into deep understanding of meditation, I would just sit in my car and get quiet, and my mind would race, Johnny, as it everyone's does. And this is simple. This is something simple you can do. Everybody can do this. Is I, I would reach up to my ear, my earlobe, and I would pull it. And what I would hear was the sound of a toilet flushing, like whoosh. And all of those thoughts, all of those thoughts and feelings and things that I had, I would pretend that they were being flushed down the toilet and replaced with new thoughts and new ideas. I would do this even when I was talking to a client sometimes, because I would, my head would get full of all this stuff that wasn't true. But so that's something. I know it sounds crazy, right? Whoosh, you hear a toilet, but it worked. It worked. It worked. You can laugh, but it worked.
I'm laughing with you because it actually the metaphor is just one. Because
yeah, funny,
but the metaphor makes so much sense. But you, one of the comments you just made though, when you were talking about, you said two things that really rung with me. The one was that feeling of flat out fear, feeling overwhelmed, feeling
gripping fear,
just like scare the living hell out of you fear. And then the other thing you mentioned was you have control of your own emotions. I think both of those things, in many ways, are one and the same. It's yes, it's we all have control of our own emotions, and we need to take responsibility for them. We also need to take responsibility for the way that we react to other things, people, places, and things, right? Because that's what puts us in these crazy states. What's interesting, though, is you've gotten yourself, this did not happen overnight. You just talked about when you used to go down, when you go on sales calls before you ever understood, you know, the benefits of meditating and deep prayer and so forth. What I think is interesting about this, it's important you have to catch in Daniel's story here, is typical human behavior is when you're getting up and you're that, my hair is on fire, the world is falling apart, what am I going to do? Our typical first response to that is, if you can, you skip the shower and you dive right in to the mess
yep.
today. And you start trying to unravel the big, you know, ball of yarn and the messiness. You immediately start jumping into it. That is, and this is where the difference is. Daniel, you've lived this life. I lived this life. And to this day, we still do this. So in all honesty, we still do this. We just dive right in and, you know, we jump past don't pay the $200. The difference, though, is the more you do this, you stop and realize, because I know myself, for this conversation, my wife and I have this conversation, the best way for me, I'm the best version of myself when I can get up and I could commit to, and I'm not saying everyone can do this much, an hour to an hour and a half every morning in my case, to God. And if I can give an hour and a half in the morning, I know those days, every time, without ever one single exception, and I can use the words all, never, forever, every time that day is a better day for me. No different than when you got out of bed and you stopped and you said, I can either go jump on my email, I can jump on the phone, I can start going crazy and do my things and try to get myself out of this state of mind. You stopped long enough. You said, no, where I need to go is I need to go inside of myself, and I need to flush those feelings. I need to help find peace within my own head to clear it before I go out and start polluting the rest of the world, right? And that's what you did. And it's the same thing, though. It's when we say, you know, other people, you need to take responsibility for your responses, your reactions, and your behaviors. There's nothing more true than that. No one controls what we do other than ourselves. On the other hand, if you don't take the time and you take these purposeful, these deep thought, these thoughtful moments in your life to work on yourself, it's no different than the gym. Right? If you want to be, you don't have to be buff, but if you want to be buff, if you want to be toned, if you want to physiologically feel better, you got to hit the gym. If you want to think better, think more clean, have more positive thoughts, and be more at one with who you are and the space around you, you have to spend some time in your head. And it's when you do that, your responses to other, the way the things people say, because the other part of it is the lion's share of the world is not in that space. They're in the victim mode. They're in, look what this person has done to me. It's in a very, very negative space. And what they're going to do, their mission when they get out of bed, whether they realize it or not, is to bring you down with them. Misery loves company, right? It's the whole water cooler talk, and that's the reason that you have to have HR departments and companies, and you know, it goes on and on and on. When you allow yourself to work on your head, you're deep and get deep in thought, you respond different to those situations, and ultimately your behaviors and your actions, they reflect that. And holy cow, when you and I talk about this, when I wake up and I go through those and I'm having my best day, it's like, I feel awesome. But if I'm having a bad day and I'm skipping something, like, am I not the same person that I was yesterday? I mean, certainly no one did anything to me any different. Why am I such a, you know, why am I a train wreck having these emotions, high response, so forth and so on? So I think a couple points you just made, Daniel, rather than fly over them, I think we're absolutely critical of this conversation because it's worth the investment. I don't care what you do, but slow down long enough, make some purposeful time to invest in yourself, and you owe it to yourself. We talk about this all. You're a miracle. It's a gift to be here, for Pete's sakes. We got to slow down and treat ourselves a little bit better some days.
Yeah, I love that. I love that thought. And, you know, of course, we're already running out of time. This goes by so fast. For those of you that are listening in right now and would love to chime in, 347-677-1965. We'd love for you to call in. We only have a minute or two, but maybe on the next call, tell us how you feel about it, how meditation or spirituality in business affects you or your business, because it's really important to us to hear from you. But in closing, I would say this. I want to just piggyback on what Johnny just said. You are a miracle. You're on this human journey until you expire, so enjoy it. And for those of you that may not be the kind of person that meditates, but maybe medicates, do yourself a favor. Walk outside today, and I don't care if it's 15 below or 75 degrees. Just take a deep breath of the air and give yourself. I've always said this, if we could get people to give themselves 60 seconds. Give yourself 60 seconds. Look at your watch, look at your phone, and time 60 seconds, and just allow yourself for 60 seconds to connect to your humanness. If you can do that, then you've already done more than most people in the world. And the benefits, as Johnny has said and I've said throughout the show, are enormous. I got up this morning in fear, but it didn't last long. And I didn't, and I love what you said, go around polluting people. I could have been mean to my son. I could have said, make your own breakfast. I could have said, walk to school because I was not in the right place. But that didn't happen because I was able to center myself and recognize that he had nothing to do with me getting up in the space that I was in. And that, folks, is how our businesses benefit from our ability to slow down and stop and meditate or breathe or all these things, because when we don't take out our aggressions on other people, putting in Johnny's words, polluting people, then we're able to close more business, get along with more people, and live life more fully. So with that, you guys have a beautiful, blessed day today. Please go out and give yourself 60 seconds, and we look forward to talking to you next week. Have a beautiful, blessed day.
You've been listening to Awakening Spirituality in Business Today with Daniel Gutierrez and Johnny Hernandez. To provide feedback, listen to more episodes, or learn how Daniel and Johnny can help you in your business, visit their websites at livingwithpurpose.today or danielgutierrez.com. You can also call them directly at 1-805-764-1463. Thank you again for listening. The personal fulfillment and professional success you've been searching for is within your reach. Lead with your heart and live a life of purpose today.
That isn't just the sound of the 2016 Mercedes-Benz C-Class high-strength steel and aluminum frame being formed. It's the sound of conviction. Conviction that created a lighter, quicker, and more efficient C-Class, whose beautiful form commands attention, while its more powerful, fuel-efficient engine demands to be driven. This is what conviction sounds like. Now, discover what it feels like in a 2016 Mercedes-Benz C-Class.